The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
In fact, if they could ever put up a chart, I don't know if they can do it. Do you guys have access to that chart that I love so much? You don't mind if I go off teleprompter, do you? Because these teleprompters are so boring, I try and explain that. Oh, there's a, wow. You guys are doing it. They're getting better with time.
That was just before President Donald Trump was shot in the face. It grazed his ear, as everyone in the world now knows. But it was because he went off script. He went off the teleprompter. He was talking to the audio video guys saying, hey, can you put that shot up that I love so much that about illegal immigration, as I was discussing on yesterday's show. You think about all of the tiny, tiny, tiny little events that had to come into play perfectly in order for God to intervene and save Donald Trump. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. We appreciate you joining us on today's show. You can get to the live video stream of this program at TrumpetDaily.com. Also at the Rumble channel, Rumble.com/TrumpetDaily. Sam and I were discussing this morning how we often get a little bit off the script or away from our notes, onto a tangent. And as we were saying this morning, you might want to embrace the tangent. Of course, there's a balance. There's a lot to be said for preparation and getting your notes together, getting your thoughts organized before you have a public speaking event. But there was Donald Trump, as he often does, going off script and then turning his head to the right. And because of that, the bullet, instead of hitting the back of his brain, it grazes his ear. Think about, we're putting together a timeline at the moment of just all of these things that had to come together at that precise moment in order for God alone to prevent the unthinkable, as Donald Trump tweeted on Sunday morning. God alone did this. God inspired the tangent. I mean, we're leaving aside other factors too, the wind speed or the nerves of the shooter who had been identified on the roof and he was hurrying along. Trump's AV guys were hurrying along. They got the slide in place. And then right at the precise moment that it needed to happen, the bullet only had, its travel time was 0.34 seconds, a third of a second. And instead of a dead former president, we're left with an image that has galvanized the nation. We're left with this iconic image that we showed you yesterday all through the show. Donald Trump. You could say, I mean, we know 2 Kings 14 says God's going to intervene and save the nation through Jeroboam. Yesterday, as some commentators even noted, I gave you that Ramaswamy clip where he said God essentially intervened and saved America on July 13th. An image that we're now left with that, as I say, has galvanized the nation, as I read to you yesterday from that New York Post interview with Trump. Trump said, I'm not supposed to be here right now. I'm supposed to be dead. And so as he walks into the Republican National Convention last night, I mean, you can see this has changed him. This has made him even more serious, even more statesmanlike, even more presidential. And then, of course, the crowd, the enthusiasm, the electricity. He told Bret Baier on Fox News he was going to announce his VP yesterday, which he did do, J.D. Vance. And then he said there's other big announcements coming this week as well. How many people do you suppose watched Joe Biden's disastrous interview with Lester Holt last night? There he is with Lester telling him, you know, when Trump's people, I mean, their rhetoric is dangerous. But, you know, when I criticize Trump, I'm just criticizing his policies. I mean, can you imagine Lester Holt just kind of letting that go? They led with that clip on Morning Joe. Morning Joe's back, by the way. Morning Joe's threatening. Joe and Mika are threatening to quit if MSNBC ever cancels another one of their programs. Think of the hubris of these people. So Morning Joe's back. They lead with the Biden clip that nobody saw. And Biden basically lying to their faces that I just criticized Trump's policies. No, you don't. You call him Hitler. You call him Nazis. You lead the charge with this violent, dangerous rhetoric. And Morning Joe leads with that. The Morning Meltdown leads with that. Their bosses won't even let them take to the airwaves yesterday morning because they're too afraid of what they might say. Following the assassination attempt on Donald Trump, following God's miraculous intervention to save Donald Trump, God alone prevented the unthinkable from happening. Notice the head turn in slow motion. This is clip 9. And you can see here he's on the tangent. He's off script. He's even ridiculing teleprompters. There he turns his head, gets shot in the ear, holds his ear, and then starts to go down. These are not a series of coincidences. As I played for you yesterday from Ramaswamy, from Newt Gingrich, these are miracles. And as I was telling the campers this morning during a forum, look, if God will intervene, you see the head turn. How many frames between the head turn and the bullet whizzing by? 9 video frames. That again, it's in slow motion there. I said, if God is that involved in Bible prophecy, the unfolding of events in this world, in this nation, think about how involved he wants to be in your life. I mean, the Bible talks about God being our shepherd. You know how it is for a sheep out in the midst of wolves? It would be helpless without God's guiding, protective hand. Totally alone. Totally vulnerable to the worst of humanity. We need God's guidance. We need God's direction. My father wrote in the Ready for War article, this is back in January 2023, if you don't have a Trumpet subscription, we offer them without cost, totally free, 1-year subscription to get tomorrow's news today. The 800 number, 1-866-930-3024. My father said in that issue, he said, the battle lines are drawn, the stage is set for one of the most dramatic fulfillments of Bible prophecy we have yet seen in our lifetimes. He's talking about the return of Donald Trump. This was a year and a half ago. And he mentions in there that, well, as you see from the cover, he's going to have to war his way back. And so when Trump says, fight, 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 that's him acknowledging that we're in the midst of a war. These wicked people are trying to destroy America. That's their aim. And Donald Trump sees that. In the midst of one of the most dramatic fulfillments of Bible prophecy we've yet seen in our lifetimes. I mean, that was written a year and a half ago. And as we're now seeing, I mean, it's turning out to be even more dramatic than we anticipated. You think about the way, just looking at some of the other minuscule events, not the ones like the wind and the head turn and the teleprompter and the slide on the screen, but what about all the events that allowed for this 20-year-old kid to bring in a ladder and to get on top of a building with a rifle? a building in which the police had set up a command post. I mean, police were all over the place. Well, God allowed all that to happen. God allowed him to get off, what, 7 or 8 rounds? My colleague here, Joel Hilliker, he wrote this Sunday. I read some of this yesterday. Had the bullet been a few millimeters to the left and missed Trump completely, you would not have these iconic images of a bloodied man punching the air with his fist, mouthing, fight, fight, fight. So God intervened to prevent the unthinkable from happening. But he also allowed for the bullet to graze him. So you have this bloodied figure. I mean, we were talking about some of the similarities with Trump and with Teddy Roosevelt, who also famously was shot before a speech. I mean, it's still, there's no getting around the fact that what Roosevelt did was remarkable. But it didn't have the drama that the one on Saturday evening had. He wasn't shot. TR wasn't shot during a speech like Donald Trump was, with all of the television cameras filming it. I think TR had to get up and tell his audience, you know, I just got shot. And, you know the story about the wad of papers that was under his shirt and some kind of a metal thing out front that helped to slow down the bullet that still entered into his lungs. But that spared him. That saved his life. And then he gets up and he goes on with the speech. And yesterday, speaking of tangents, yesterday I'm talking about, you know, Donald Trump being unable to finish his speech. And as I was speaking, I thought, well, hang on a second. He did finish it. He finished it with the fist pump and fight, fight, fight. The best, most powerful, dramatic conclusion to any speech he's ever given. Instead of a dead former president, we're left with an image now, taken by the regime media of all things, an image that has galvanized the nation. There you see it. He's a fighter. He is a fighter. He has courage. He has courage. I mean, he's still in a state of shock right there. He got shot in the face. Tucker and so many others have said that's the moment that he won the election. For sure. For sure. I'll play the clips if we have time later. I mean, you talk about the dramatic fulfillment of Bible prophecy. As I was saying to the campers this morning, I mean, how exciting is it to have the great God above involved in our lives, in our work, in inspiring this literature and inspiring America Under Attack? Just lays it all out there for you. So I was telling the students, I mean, look, I mean, a third of the Bible is prophecy. And as Mr. Armstrong always used to say, 90% of it is for our time today. So we need to be students of Bible prophecy. And I was telling the students, the campers, you know, the United States and Britain in prophecy, this book right here, America Under Attack, the Holy Roman Empire in prophecy. I mean, you get through 3 or 4 of our booklets and right away, you are familiar with the framework of latter-day prophecy. Prophecies being fulfilled. As my father said in that Trumpet article, the stage is set for one of the most dramatic fulfillments of biblical prophecy that we've seen in our lifetimes. I mean, that's pretty exciting. That's jaw-dropping. What we're witnessing, what we're seeing, the collapse of all the lawfare, Judge Cannon showing some courage. This case just falling apart. And then these radical communists online going on and on about the death of the republic because this judge won't continue to persecute Donald Trump and to put him in prison. And all of these demon-inspired agitators who are Hollywood actors who are wishing that the shooter had better aim so that Donald Trump would be murdered right now. Is this Is this a movement? Speaking of the wickedness in high places, is that a movement you want to compromise with or negotiate with? Dinesh D'Souza, he's been on this program before. We need to get him on again. He said, I'm quite deaf to all the stupid calls to come together. Is this what they said when Lincoln was shot? Let's make nice with the Confederacy that bred John Wilkes Booth. No, the Republicans honored Lincoln by making the Democrats in the South pay a heavy price. You need to pay for this insurrection, for this attack on America. That attack needs to be crushed. As I was saying on yesterday's show, I mean, that's what Donald Trump needs right now. Some generals like Ulysses S. Grant that will actually go and crush the enemy. Put an end to it. Put an end to the rebellion. That's the kind of leadership that God needs in his church, in his family. No compromise. Submit to God and resist the devil. That's what the Bible tells us. That's what our shepherd says. Just submit to God's lead, to God's will, and fight against the devil. Resist our adversary. And then God gives us courage and strength and power. And we all need that. The New York Post this morning, just talking about this Antiochus-led attack. Yeah, there's a lot more people than just a 20-year-old kid responsible for what happened that Saturday evening. The Post says, a clear picture is emerging of the exact timeline of staggering failures that enabled an armed 20-year-old man with no military training to scale a building loaded with counter-sniper team cops in broad daylight and come within a hair's breadth of killing former President Donald Trump. How did this happen? Look at your headline there. For 26 minutes, he had been spotted, not even by just civilians. You saw that in yesterday's cold open. For 26 minutes, he had been spotted by law enforcement agents, officials, policemen. Trump gunman Thomas Crooks was spotted at least twice by cops 26 minutes before he rained bullets on the Pennsylvania rally crowd. How does this happen? You think if the dear leader was speaking 130 yards away, Barack Obama, you think if the police officers that were in the very building the gunman was on top of, do you think they would have just, gone up a ladder and said, oh, there's a gunman pointing a rifle at me. I guess I'll get out of here. You think that's how they would have approached protecting the dear leader? This is top to bottom. Whether you want to call it a conspiracy or Trump derangement syndrome that just blinded these guys. How do you explain this? How are people not already being fired? You have the woman heading up the Secret Service, you know, the one that wants to put like a third more women in? Small women at that, 5'3", that can barely cover Donald Trump or find their holster to put their pistol in. This country is under attack in more ways than one. And when you see the Trump derangement syndrome that sets in, or even worse, this organized conspiracy, we're only 2 days on from it. What else is going to be revealed before this is all said and done? Just as I played for you yesterday, I mean, just connect the dots. Look at the chain of events. This was obvious. This was their last resort. We've got to try to kill him. We've got to try to murder him. Here goes a kid with a rifle on a roof. And bystanders are yelling for officers to do something, and nobody did anything. Well, it's just Trump. Well, the rules, you see, the rules of the Secret Service are we're not to engage unless they fire upon the subject. Really? Is that how they would have approached protecting Barack Obama? Let's wait and let him have a shot at the deer leader, and then we'll shoot him. Then we'll take him out. 26 minutes. They knew he was up there. One police officer took a picture of him. Where did he send that picture? Who did he get on the phone with? What was he told? Hopefully we'll find out. Incredibly, not only did Crooks manage to evade having his cover blown, despite sticking out like a sore thumb. Yeah, a guy wearing dark clothes on a white roof. He secured his rooftop perch right under the noses of local police sniper teams, a local police sniper team stationed inside the building. I mean, you can't make this up. The police were in that very building. For some reason, they didn't think it was important to be on top of the building to secure the area 130 yards from the podium. It says here the building, the AGR building, factory next to the Butler County Farm Fairgrounds, was being used by local police as a watch post for snipers. Oh, it was a watch post, you see. The building. The building that the assassin used, that was actually a watch post for law enforcement. Wow. Cops were inside, but not on the roof during the shooting. No. Just let the kid get up on the roof. And then, of course, as I said yesterday, the kid has no social media. He's one of perhaps 7 billion people on Earth without a social media footprint. And then the FBI having all the trouble trying to get into the phone. And then they still can't decide or determine a motive. Well, here you go. I'm not an investigator, but how about this? Get Trump. How about that as your motive? And then to hear people arguing, well, he was a Republican and he voted for Republican with this. People are going to go on and on and on with their precious lies. And the truth is right out there for all to see. And if you really are discerning, you see God as well. And that part of it's very inspiring. This part of it, just seeing how it was all set up, excuse me, how it was all set up from the beginning. I mean, there's another spirit behind so much of this as well. Some heavy, heavy demonic activity for sure. Says here, Crooks was able to scale the building unchallenged before firing off up to 8 shots with an AR-style assault rifle, grazing Trump in the ear, killing one supporter, Trump supporter, and wounding 2 others. Law enforcement sources said it was not clear as of Monday night whether any of the local officers who were tasked with securing the perimeter outside location of the rally were able to warn Secret Service agents. You just can't find that out. You know, we can't find out if they were able to, you know, radio into the people surrounding the podium. How, if supposing you can't shoot until you're shot at, how are those counter snipers not screaming in the midst of Donald Trump's speech saying, get him down? Get him down. There's a shooter over there. Nobody did that either. So God had to intervene himself. God intervened in the smallest of ways. And instead of a dead former president, we've got an image. We've got footage that has galvanized the nation. Listen to Tucker Carlson from yesterday, clip one.
It does seem like all of a sudden, and I'm sorry to interrupt, but I just want to respond to that. It seems like everything has aligned in the period of like 3 days to make it very obvious Donald Trump's going to be the next president. There's no doubt about it at this point. Mm-hmm. Very little doubt to the extent you can foretell the future. But what do you make of that? Democrat, it's like all of a sudden, it's just everything changes in one moment.
Well, when God shows up that clearly, it's hard for even the biggest detractors to deny it. They go, what did I just watch? you just watched God turn Donald Trump's head literally a split second, part of a second, right before the bullet whizzed by. I mean, if he'd have still been looking this way, it catches him here. He turns this way, it catches him here. We all just watched it. I mean, think about God making his presence known. I mean, on the biggest possible story you ever could, and the whole world just saw that. So now you've got people going, okay, I believe it. I believe it. Because how do you deny that?
I mean, I feel like we're in the middle of history. We're in the middle. America's a movie, and we have no idea how it ends.
That last comment's interesting. We do have an idea how it ends. That's why Bible prophecy is so important. That's why America Under Attack and the U.S. and Britain and prophecy are so important. That's Tucker on with a country singer. I think John Rich is his name. They're pointing out the obvious. I made the point yesterday how that my father has written that God's going to intervene in a way to save Israel temporarily by the hand of Jeroboam. He's going to do it in such a way where it's just obvious. And we're seeing people now acknowledge this. It was obvious. It was obvious with the head tilt. It was obvious with the tangent. It was obvious with the breakaway from the teleprompter. It was obvious with the slide on illegal immigration over to Trump's right. One of his favorite graphics. Listen to Tucker. He had quite a few little clips that were posted just yesterday. I think this is in a different setting, clip two.
And let's be honest, Trump just won. He won. Not only did he survive an assassination attempt, he stood up without knowing whether there were other shooters there. He stood up and faced the crowd and raised his hand and said, fight, fight, fight. That's it. You do that, you win. And by the way, I happen to notice that the crowd, which also didn't know whether there were other shooters, who watched Trump get shot in the face, they did not bolt. It wasn't like a fire in a theater, actually. They sat there, they watched him intently, and when he stood up, they applauded him, and many cried. Why is that? Because a brave leader gives his people heart. That's why. That's exactly why. So with that, Trump became president. I bet my house on it.
Bravery and courage, it's infectious. That's what he's pointing out there. He's saying, look, we're a nation of cowards, essentially. No offense to anyone, but that's just human nature to want to compromise with the devil, to just surrender rather than fight. 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 Donald Trump's an exception, as Tucker noted, and he's inspiring others to clench their fist, to put their fist in the air, and to say, we're going to fight, we're going to resist, we're going to stand against. Listen to clip three.
And he defeated the Democrats, and on merit, by the way, not through the usual political scheming, I'll trade you a Senate seat for your vote. No. He did it by being a man in a nation of people who weren't quite, just being honest, okay? He acted like a man, the kind of man I respect, and I think every person feels this way, every person, no matter what you think of Trump. Because leadership isn't actually all about, you know, the way you talk. It's about how brave you are. That's what people want. They want a brave leader.
They want a brave leader. They want a brave police officer. They want someone that will resist the assassin, expose the assassin, dogpile the assassin. How about that one? For his part, Donald Trump, he gets shot in the face and he gets up, and what does he do? He finishes his speech courageously, boldly. I mean, as I said yesterday, how could he have known? How could the Secret Service have known, even with the shooter down, that there weren't more shooters or attackers? Listen again to Tucker as he talks about the bigger picture here. This is skipping ahead to clip five.
I think what happened on Saturday, the assassination attempt against President Trump, reminded a lot of people this, or awakened a lot of people to this. There is a spiritual battle underway. There is no logical way to understand what we're seeing now in temporal terms. You just can't. These are not political divides. There are forces, and they're very obvious now, they've decided for whatever reason to take off the mask, whose only goal is chaos, violence, destruction. And they're the rest of us who, once again, are not always certain we're right, but we know that that's bad.
I've heard commentators reference Ephesians 6 on this great spiritual war that we're in, wickedness in high places. Ephesians 2, of course, speaks of the devil's influence, the prince of the power of the air, and how that, as Herbert Armstrong said in Mystery of the Ages, he surcharges the air with his attitudes and impulses, and we see them everywhere. But we also see God, for his part, we see God intervening in order to carry out his prophecies, fulfilled prophecies. It's one of the great proofs of God's very existence. Instead of a dead president, an image, footage that has galvanized the nation, that has made it obvious that God is definitely engaged, that God is involved, that God is intervening. When we come back, we'll look into this monumental security failure a little bit more so. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is The Trumpet Daily. We'll be right back.
Daily news, Bible prophecy. See the connection on The Trumpet Daily. Are you feeling overwhelmed by the flood of news and information? You need something to sift the news and bring you only what matters most. You need The Trumpet Daily. You also need something to help you understand not just what's happening now, but what will happen next. You need The Trumpet Daily. Only The Trumpet Daily accurately matches daily news to precise Bible prophecies. Because Bible prophecy is the only tool up to the task of sifting the news down to what's important and showing you what will happen next. Join host Stephen Fleury every weekday. Go to trumpetdaily.com.
Look, they're all pointing.
The Atlantic, maybe the Pacific.
Yeah, someone's on top of the roof. Look. There he is right there. Right there, see him? He's laying down. See him?
Yeah, he's laying down.
Millions and millions of people in our country that should be here. Dangerous people.
Criminals.
We have criminals.
He's on the roof. He's on the roof.
We have people that should not be here.
Right here. Right on the roof.
It's much tougher than it happened.
Right on the roof, they got.
We noticed the guy crawling, bear crawling up the roof of the building beside us. 50 feet away from us. So we're standing there, we're pointing at the guy crawling up the roof.
And he had a gun, right?
He had a rifle.
A rifle.
We could clearly see him with a rifle, absolutely. We're pointing at him. The police are down there running around on the ground. We're like, hey, man, there's a guy on the roof with a rifle. And the police were like, huh, what? Like they didn't know what was going on. We're like, hey, right here on the roof. We can see him from right here. We see him. He's crawling.
I was up at the fence line, saw the guy move from roof to roof, told an officer that he was on the roof. The officer come looking, I went back to take a look, heard that there was somebody that could see the person. So I went back to where they were standing, saw the person, went back and told the officer again that if he goes back to that particular spot, he can see the person, figuring that he would go in radio. And when I turned around to go back to where I was is when the gunshots started.
I hope he's turning this way. Be careful, guys.
He's giving a thumbs up, everybody! He's giving a thumbs up!
It took the counter snipers just a few seconds to take out the gunman, but of course he had fired off 8 rounds, according to the New York Post. And before that, it was roaming around on the roof, right on top of the police command center for 26 minutes. Well, you can only imagine how most Trump supporters would see this, not as a lone gunman, far from it. It's an attack. People were conspiring, at the very least. You've got the deep state knowing about this crazy kid and turning a blind eye to it because, well, get Trump, right? We've got to do anything possible to prevent Hitler from destroying American democracy. That's what they've been saying. That's what young people have been hearing. That's what they get on Morning Meltdown every day, every single day. So much so that the producers, or at least the higher ups at MSNBC, said, you know, Joe, Mika, maybe you ought to take Monday off. Let's not inflame the situation any further. Joe Biden should have done the same thing. Instead, he's there talking about how it's Trump's people with all the dangerous rhetoric. And he and his people, well, they just criticize policies like tax policies, you see. Donald Trump was very nearly assassinated. And he would have been, were it not for God's timely, very timely intervention. Listen to this. This is a former U.S. Army sniper. He's talking with Jesse Waters on Sunday night. This is clip 8.
What kind of shot was this, Corey, from 130 yards?
Look, at the end of the day, this is a shot that your basic training boot camp soldier is requested to make within their 9-week period. This is one of the easiest shots, and they train all the way out till 300 or 500. And when I was doing the counter sniper, it wasn't with the United States Army. It was actually when I was with the State Department and was doing this exact thing, which is trying to look at going out with an advanced team, establishing what the perimeter is. And then as a sniper, when you would set up, you'd put together your range sketch or your range fan cards. And that would tell you where your 100, your 200, your 300, and you'd identify the areas of threat that you would be able to mitigate. And if there's multiple targets, you understand that your elevation and windage knob wouldn't have to be messed with, especially at 160 yards. You could literally just look quickly, glance, and know from the reference point whether it be a building, whether it be a lone tree, whether it be a parking lot, maybe it's a road. Bottom line is that this is massive negligence to the point of me speculating on what was intentional and what wasn't. The bottom line is that if you saw someone climbing onto a roof that you hadn't authorized any clearance on, it's got a clear line of sight. It's exactly adjacent to the shooting where the president was sitting, and you're talking about a pop shot, and you got people yelling, and there should have been comms. The minute that local law enforcement, who apparently had a rifle pointed on, there should have been an emergency frequent comms channel that they could have said, we have a shooter on the roof, shooter on the roof. Secret Service should have rushed the stage and immediately took the president and took him off and then responded to the counter sniper. The shot should not have gone off. That is the failure in itself. You're supposed to be able to try, you know, the best security is when you go in and you're actually able to prevent an incident, not react to an incident. Even if you would have left a law enforcement officer's patrol car in that parking lot with the lights on, that could have been a deterrent. But when you have nothing that is actually showing force protection, you're encouraging this. Look, I'm not sure about who the individuals are on the individual detail Secret Service, but I can tell you under this Biden administration, the one thing I've seen is massive DEI hires. And I can tell you, when you primarily go after DEI, you end up with DIE. This is a shot that within 5 minutes, I could teach you to make 9 out of 10 times. So this is divine intervention. This is the God having his protective hand and wearing Ephesians 6, the armor of God over the president, because this right here, a millisecond or a millimeter in change, and this isn't an attempted assassination. This is an assassination of a president.
Divine intervention. He's the one there noting Ephesians 6. I mean, the killer, he had a $12,000 rifle with a scope that had he had the target locked in. The bullseye was set, to quote the fake president. Got to put Trump in the bullseye. He was at, the fake president, by the way, was asked about that last night, and he told Lester Holt, I didn't say crosshairs. And Holt said, I said that you said bullseye. I didn't say crosshairs. I mean, this is, as I say, this is This is like a movie script that you couldn't have thought of in advance. It's so crazy. The attack on America, a president that has lost his mind. And then the real president, if not for a little tilt of the head, he'd be dead. The whole point of security detail, as you heard there, is to prevent an incident, is to prevent a shooting. So this represents a monumental failure on every level. Whether it's DEI, turning a blind eye, how could they not know? The bystanders were sharper than the security, the Secret Service. And you hear even Republicans coming out saying, boy, the Secret Service did great, saved his life. No, no, they didn't. The Secret Service did not save Donald Trump's life. Donald Trump, I mean, for his part, he did duck. But Donald Trump did not save Donald Trump's life. God did. God did. Divine intervention. Divine providence. You look at the Secret Service, you look at the law enforcement officials. This is a monumental, a catastrophic failure. The former president of the United States got up with his face bloodied because of this catastrophic failure. Listen to Dan Bongino. This was from Sunday morning, Fox News, clip 16.
The question we have to ask is, if that's the best technology we have, and we had a CS team up there with a shooter that, you know, we're trained out to 1,000 yards in the Secret Service with the counter-sniper team, how did they miss someone at most, you know, one-fifth of the way there? It doesn't make any sense. And even worse, it's broad daylight on a white roof. So, again, open questions here. Was there forward-looking infrared deployed? Was there aerial support, drones, helicopters?
Evidently not. No drones, no helicopters. Secret Service, quite a few of them, short little women. Because, you know, DEI. We got to get some DEI hires in there. I mean, this is just, you know that this is an attack. For this level of a breakdown at every stop along the way, 26 minutes. They spotted the shooter 26 minutes before he started firing. A half hour? That's not, I mean, how far we've gotten into this. This program's been going on for 40 minutes or so, 45 minutes. You can't stop a 20-year-old kid with a rifle when there's thousands upon thousands of people around. One guy was murdered. The 50-year-old father of two. And two others in critical condition. I mean, we could end up with three individuals, or two at least, that are, what, disfigured because of the shooting? Steve Scalise, the one that was shot up at that Republican baseball practice years ago, you know, by the Bernie bro? He's been in and out of surgery ever since. I mean, he's still alive. I'm sure he's thankful for that. And he still works at Congress. But sometimes you carry that injury for the rest of your life. It changes your life for the worse, forever. So there's this 20-year-old kid with a rifle, and he's just roaming around. And people are yelling, he's on the roof. He's crawling on the roof. He's got a gun. And they just couldn't do anything to stop him. He fired off 8 rounds. Listen again to Bongino from Sunday, clip 17.
Donald Trump knew to duck. I mean, most people would. He saved his own life. That's just a fact. The evacuation did not go right. I mean, the rule with the Secret Service is cover the protectee and evacuate. The other rule is maximum to the protectee, minimum to the problem. Why minimum to the problem? Because you don't know that's the only problem. It could be a distraction. There could be another person in the crowd. So if you don't jump on the protectee, you could be looking at multiple shooters. So at least that part the guys there, you know, stepped up there. But the failure here is absolutely catastrophic.
He's exactly right. I mean, good for the guys closest to Trump to get up there and to risk their lives to stand in front of another possible shooter. But what about, just like when we were going through Mueller and, you know, they were spying on Trump. And remember how people always would come out and defend the rank and file people at the FBI and wherever else, DOJ. But, you know, the problem was just there with Strzok and Page. And maybe Comey, the leadership at D.C., but certainly the Pittsburgh office of the FBI. Now, they're above reproach. They're going to come in. They may have a little trouble getting into a cell phone, but they're going to come in and really get to the bottom of this, right? No, they're not, actually. It's going to be the effort is to cover things up. Why is it the New York Post that has to expose the 26 minutes? Why isn't that what they're leading with on Morning Joe? Instead of a clip of a fake president lying. It's unbelievable. It really is. Listen again to Bongino. Bongino, by the way, is a former Secret Service guy. He knows what he's talking about. And what did he say there? A catastrophic failure. This is clip 18.
There have been repeated requests to increase the security footprint around not just the residences of Donald Trump, but the body itself. And they have been rebuffed. Like I said, I can tell you actual quotes. The Secret Service directors completely failed and candidly should resign today. Kim Cheadle has failed Donald Trump and honestly failed Joe Biden, too. He's the president right now. Where's the DHS secretary? I mean, this is you're blaming it on manpower. So just to be clear, we're a $4 trillion United States government and we can't fork over enough money to keep our people alive. And then you're sending out tweets like, oh, this is the best technology we have. Really? To let a sniper 150 yards away from the potential next president shoot a piece of his ear off?
You see how preposterous some of the excuse making is. Cheadle's there. She's telling an interviewer, I'm staying on the job. Yeah. I mean, we have a few weaknesses here and there, but you know, we can't afford to expand that security footprint. We just can't afford. This is coming from the same government that's giving cash cards and free hotel rooms and plane trips across the country to illegal aliens and blowing money in every other cause, but can't really afford to give Donald Trump that much. Listen, the Democrats just 3 months ago, I believe it was, they came forward with this resolution to take away all of the Secret Service from Donald Trump. Well, he's convicted now. He's a convicted felon. He doesn't deserve Secret Service. They want him dead. They want to kill him. It was nice to see some taller Secret Service agents, and all men, by the way, as he entered into the convention last night. And I understand that security there is off the charts, as it should be. God is exposing corruption, even in the Secret Service, which has historically been, for 100 years, it's been seen as non-political. Their job is to protect the subject. Their job is to prevent the incident. That's it. That's it. And as soon as they have a catastrophic failure, what are we treated to? Well, just embarrassing excuses. No resignations, no firings. No, I mean, Donald Trump almost got murdered. Okay, so, but he didn't. No changes needed. One more from Bongino, clip 19.
You have one job and only one job. Your job is keep the body alive no matter what. Donald Trump, Joe Biden, Jill Biden, the president of Djibouti, it doesn't matter. That is your job. They absolutely, resolutely, 100% failed But this was an apocalyptic security failure. And don't ever forget, an uneventful failure is never a success. And the fact that Donald Trump didn't die yesterday is no reason for anybody to take some kind of victory lap.
There's no reason to come out and praise the Secret Service just because other people are doing it, just because, well, that's the thing to do. It's like those who, seriously, it's like those who were just so quick to praise everyone in the FBI. You know, the FBI that raided Mar-a-Lago, the FBI that unleashed these investigations and as an insurance policy, that an FBI that promoted the Russia collusion hoax. I'm sure there's an honest one among them. I heard an account, that was some weeks ago. This woman that had, you know, she got graduated college. She wanted to join the FBI and serve her country. And she got in there. This is like, I think it was like 20 years ago or so. She got in there and basically the first thing they were trying to teach her was how to lie convincingly. How to lie. Think of it. And she ended up getting out. She's like, is this what the Federal Bureau of Investigations is all about? They're propaganda chiefs, so many of them. We've seen it. I mean, it's all been exposed in America Under Attack, right? The level of propaganda, you can't believe anything. And then, like I say, the New York Post comes along and they've done some actual investigative work, interviewing law enforcement officials there on the ground in Butler. And saying, yeah, actually, he was identified 26 minutes before he shot Donald Trump. He was roaming around there on the roof. Bystanders were hollering, calling for the police. Police saw him. One of them took a picture. And nothing was done. Catastrophic failure. The incident happened. So they failed, pure and simple. Just like Bongino pointed out there, this is from Senator Josh Hawley yesterday, clip 6.
It is a miracle that Donald Trump is alive. I thank God for it. And we've got to get to the bottom of what happened on Saturday night. This can never happen again. We've got to find out how this was allowed to happen, and we've got to stop it.
How are you going to do that, sir? And starting when?
Well, we need an investigation, Bill, that is public. Alejandro Mayorkas, head of DHS, needs to testify under oath in public. The head of the Secret Service needs to testify under oath in public. No more sweeping this under the rug. This DOJ loves to do that. That can't happen in this case. Worst security breach, worst security failure for a president since JFK. We have got to figure out what happened here. And somebody's got to be fired, Bill. I mean, the bottom line is there's got to be accountability here. You can't let this happen. A good American is dead. Two others are in critical condition. We have got to fix this.
The worst security breach for a president since the early 1960s, since 60-some years ago. If not for a head tilt, if not for a tangent going off the teleprompter, if not for a miracle from God, President Donald Trump would be dead today. You are listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. We appreciate you joining us on today's show, and we'll see you again tomorrow.